Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Semi-Scribble podcast, a show about reading books by Africans or people of Black descent that inspire us. I'm Akinyi, and I'll be taking you through books that inspire marginalia, books that changed your worldview and life. Stay tuned. Today, we are going to talk about Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler. Thank you so much for joining me, and let's get into it. It's been quite a while since I've been on the mic, so to speak, and I don't want to say that it's going to get better. Let's just agree that our relationship has come to a point where I talk to you guys about once every month or so. Life is lifing. We are still in a pandemic and we're all still getting our bearings, right? Just recently, the curfew was lifted in Nairobi. Hey, Nairobi, be safe out there while you're out there. But it really is exhilarating to think that you can now take a long drive out of Nairobi and enjoy the nighttime. But let's get serious and get back to what we are all here for today. I want to give a special shout out to the Instagram community of Podcast Semi. That's the hashtag. Go and check us out. Who have asked a lot of questions about where I have been and have actually been following up about past episodes and asked me to send them links to things that I've been talking about. So thank you very much for engaging. I really, really enjoy engagement and I'd like to see a little bit more of that happening. So we have a new format. As you heard in our last episode, I will be talking about the book that I read. And then we're going to have other segments, currently reading and something to note, coming right after the meat of this episode. So, Parable of the Sower is a book that I have been telling myself that I need to read, especially since I have been really caught up in the sci-fi genre. I really never thought that I'd be a sci-fi girl. I said that last time when we were talking about N.K. Jemisin and her trilogy. And this book was wonderful as well for me. It really did transport me. Octavia's writing is really great. It immerses you in the world that she has built around the characters and the themes. Y'all, I cannot believe that this book was published in the early 90s, around 1993. I cannot imagine that this book was published then because the themes are very much relevant today. So the main character of this book, and you should know me by now, is a young Black lady named Lauren Olamina. In fact, I lie. Lauren is not a lady. When we get to know Lauren, she's 15 years old. And when the book is ending, Lauren is 18. Her soul, though, seems to be quite old. It seems to be that she is wiser than the adults around her. And take a breather here for everybody who's going to feel triggered if your traumas are going to come at you. There are very many children who are adulting and who are parents to their parents. That's a whole other discussion. But Lauren is a great example of this. She lives with her father, who's a reverend, Reverend Olamina, and her stepmother, Corey, and a bunch of stepbrothers. Lauren and Corey get along really well. The book is set up in dystopian America. The climate is really bad. Things are rough, y'all. It's not easy to get access to food, especially vegetables and fresh fruit. So most of the neighborhoods become communities where they try to barter in some of these goods. And as the book progresses, the situation really gets worse. There are political machinations going on. And there was hope for a time that a new president would help with the situation. But this doesn't really seem to be happening. So governance really falls back onto communities. And Reverend Olamina really stands out as one of the characters who helps the community band together. Of course, with the disintegration of government comes all sorts of divided thinking. People have their own theologies and ideologies as to what they're going to do or adhere to in order to survive. And this creates friction within communities. But for Lauren as a child, she observes everything going on around her and decides that these adults do not really understand what they're doing. For those who are really deeply religious, they seem to be ignoring the fact that the world is falling apart around them. And for those who really stray away from religion and are mostly capitalistic, do not realize that they cannot function as capitalists in that environment. So Lauren begins to make notes, or rather journal, in her diary every day about what's going on. And this is how the story is told to us. It's through the journal entries that Lauren makes. And we get to know a really diverse cast of characters. I'm really trying to think about how to discuss many things without giving away too many spoilers, because that's not my thing. I really want you to read this book or listen to it. So a series of events occur, including somebody going missing, including people moving away or having to move away from this community. And we know that people are only strong in numbers in situations like that, in most dystopian setups. So things continue to get dicey. There's a lot of theft that happens in Lauren's community. And it's crazy to me to see that these characters, some of them are 12 years old, and they are operating like full adults. For example, Lauren's brother Keith, who is her eldest stepbrother, he literally decides that he's going to go out into the big bad world, out of the community, to sort of fend for himself and be a man and get money and to literally show his father that he is a man as well. That is an interesting outcome in the book. It ends up with Lauren having to leave in order to find a place where they can settle. Some of the characters who join her are some of her neighbors, some of them who had been involved in polygamous marriages, some who are part of other families that had to separate because of what happens as things increasingly get worse. They decide that they need to go up north. Why the story becomes really compelling is because Lauren has this condition known as hyper-empathy. And it is as it sounds. It means that she can experience other people's pain when they are in pain, and she can also experience their pleasure when they are experiencing pleasure. So it makes it quite interesting to see her navigating all these emotions that are going on around this environment. And it's really heartbreaking to know that she can feel pain if somebody is shot, for example, but she can also feel the joy and the comfort in people who are hugging each other and comforting each other. And that really stood out to me, because it's not really cool anymore to say that you're an empath, because that shows that there are definitely some traumatic things that happened in your life. But the way Octavia writes about empathy, there is a very wonderful side about being a hyper empath, but it's also a weakness. And I think that reflects reality really well. The best thing about this book is how Octavia manages to capture human emotions, human conditions. She captures it so well that it makes this a timeless classic. And you don't need me to be the one to tell you that. If you do a little bit research on this book, you'll discover that it has been a bestseller. It has been a must-read book for many people. And I'm really glad that I got to read it. So I've touched on some of the themes that come up, but I'd really like to talk about the issue of friendship, because friendship is definitely a theme that runs through the book, but it's not sugar-coated at all. It's really presented in a realistic manner. Friends are not just lovely human beings who comfort you and are sympathetic to you. Looking at the example of the friendship between Lauren and Joanna, who was a neighbor, Joanna and Lauren seemed to be inseparable. Joanna was the first person that Lauren spoke to about this new philosophy, this new ethos, this new way of life that she was coming about in her journal called Earthseed. And she was really convincing Joanna of these things. And Joanna listens to Lauren. They have a little bit of a disagreement, a tiff on this subject, but Joanna seems to be open to listening to this new idea that Lauren has. Lauren even lent one of her father's books to sort of demonstrate that she has thought about this and she's done her research and they can survive out there away from this neighborhood. And Joanna literally stabs Lauren in the back. She goes ahead and tells the adults in the neighborhood about what Lauren is planning. And Lauren doesn't seem to understand why Joanna would do that. In her mind, if Joanna was against this idea, she could just have told her. And moreover, why did she take the book with her if she was going to rat her out? And that's really what friendship is like, right? So many unexpected things happen. Your BFF will stab you in the back and you'll wonder why it couldn't have been a conversation. So it's captured really well, but Lauren is such a mature human that the way she deals with it, even though she feels the betrayal, she doesn't hold it against Joanna for very long. And Joanna, in trying to run away from the fact that she would need to leave the neighborhood, actually ends up leaving with her family anyway. And that's just how funny life is. Change is a major theme in this book. Lauren even talks about how people change things around them and how in changing things around you, those in turn change who you are, and that the only constant thing is change, and that change is God or religion. I am paraphrasing, but so much change happens in this book. Lauren literally grows in years, but also in her ideology and how she delivers this to others. And while on this trek, literally trekking through bushfires, through enemy territories, without food, without water, so many of the characters change in order to survive. Or those who resist change suffer because change is a requirement for survival. There's also love as a theme in this book, but to tell you the truth, y'all, I was not feeling it. Lauren does end up falling in love with someone that she meets along the way. And this person ends up helping her achieve her dream, I think she would still have done it if she had not met this character, and his name is Bankole. But my thing with Bankole is he doesn't seem to be the right fit for Lauren in my mind. And I think that's something that Octavia was trying to say, that love is not neat, nor does it come in a package that we imagine. So that was really interesting for me to navigate my thoughts and feelings around that. I really was uncomfortable with that relationship. He was the quintessential older, wiser guy. And as much as he really did love Lauren, how he interacted with her, especially when he knew that she reciprocated his feelings, was uncomfortable for me. But that says more about me than it does about the characters of the book. So I'd like you to just jump in there and see for yourself. And I'd like to hear from you what you would think about it. Race also comes up. This dystopian world has different races. There is racism that occurs. There's so many themes around that, and how Lauren has to style herself in order to survive the journey because she is a Black person traveling not always with Black people. So that comes up. But being a Kenyan, the theme that really hit home and hit me hard is this factor of being internally displaced in your own country. That really had me thinking, or had strings or threads that I could connect to what usually happens during election season. And we are approaching election season. When Njiru Koinange's book, The Havoc of Choice, has parallels to this book, especially when we are talking about internally displaced people and how you have to find your way home. And home could be a completely different place than what we imagine it to be. Overall, I'd say this book is awesome. You should read it. It'll really give you a few things to think about. And it's great to just escape into Octavia's world, where she introduces us to Lauren or Lamina. And really great to engage such an intelligent young person who defies all expectations and doesn't just accept whatever is thrown at her. So please do go ahead and read it. I'd like to hear what you think about it. Moving on to the next section, I'm going to be talking about what I am currently reading. It has been a dry few months, but your girl has still been reading. I am really caught up with two books. I know they're not the same as what I was reading before, but I've been reading Bell Hooks, All About Love, and man, that book is something. I am loving it so far. It's a nonfiction book. She's describing the different facets of love. Ugh, I can't. I'm unable. I think I need to talk about this book, but I don't even feel like I would do justice in discussing this book. That's how wonderful it is. But I'll give it a try. The other book I was reading was Sula by Toni Morrison. I finished Sula. Wonderful book. I really love how friendship is portrayed in that book. More importantly, I really love how a development of personality is described in that book, but also how we get to see growth happening. We get to see awareness developing. And Sula and Nell defining their paths according to them being individuals while still maintaining that thread of friendship, which is more than friendship, kinship between the two of them. I really loved Sula. I can see why people read and reread it. And I think if I took a second go at it, I would identify a little bit more with Sula because I'd find something new about her. I had attempted to read that book so many times before, but the beginning with Shadrach really used to scare me, which tells you maybe how many years ago I tried to read it. But at the end, Shadrach grows on me. So, yep, that's all for what I am currently reading. And now to our final segment, something to note. There has been a lot going on in the socials and in the world to do with books for and about us who love reading books. But I would definitely have to start with how the Nobel Prize was awarded in 2021 to Abdul Razak Gurnah.
The Nobel Prize in Literature for 2021 is awarded to the novelist Abdul Razak Gurnah, born in Zanzibar, active in England, for his uncompromising and compassionate penetration of the effects of colonialism and the fates of the refugee in the gulf between cultures and continents.
I can't tell you how delighted I am, you know, how honored I am that they joined me after all those lists of writers that I had admired since whenever I started to learn to read.
I am really waiting to get my hands on one of his books because I saw Kari Baraka talking about how Abdul Razak describes food, especially pilau. He says that the way he describes food could just blows your mind. And so that's what I'm looking forward to doing. There is one of his books on Audible, and I have that on my wish list, and that's Afterlives. I'm hoping to jump into that pretty soon. So congratulations to Abdul Razak Gurnah for winning the Nobel Prize. He is a Tanzanian, but he is based in the UK. And there's quite a bit of controversy about that, especially on the Twitter sphere. But here we are celebrating him and that win. We will not talk about he who has not been granted the Nobel Prize yet. But if you want to talk about it, hit me up in the DMs, I guess. Okay, moving on. I'm really excited with Netflix announcement.
This is Dave.
No, not that one about the bad jokes, but about their book club.
And if you ever wondered how a beloved story goes from page to screen.
Hey.
Have fun.
Not too much fun.
Then you're invited to Netflix Book Club.
So they launched a Netflix book club around the 13th of October, 2021, and announced that it would be hosted by Uzo Aduba, who I love. And I'm looking forward to that because she will be discussing books that will be adapted on Netflix. So that's really exciting. I am also definitely looking forward to and noting the fact that Okwiri Owor, who is a Kane Prize winner, will be launching or publishing her book, Things They Lost. And you know how I feel about this. I'm hoping to get this as soon as it's out. So if you have a hookup, let me know. The final thing I want you to note from this episode, and which I'd like you all to stop what you're doing right now and go and read, is this wonderful, wonderful article about this Zimbabwean author that had Twitter ablaze a few weeks ago. I read that. After reading it, I went back and looked for more information around this topic. So Percy Zvomuya, who is a Zimbabwean And you can find him at Percy, P-E-R-C-Y, Zvomuya, Z-V-O-M-U-Y-A, all one word, on Twitter. He talked about a long piece which he wrote about Dambudzo Marechera and his enduring relevance in African literature. He also touched on the relationship that Dambudzo Marechera had with Flora Vetwild, whose memoir, They Called You Dambudzo, came out a few months ago. So reading that was my vibe. That long piece was my vibe. I think I'm really drawn to long pieces that are sort of like a biography. And I had not known about Dambudzo Marechera until I read this long piece. And that says more about me than anything. But it was lovely to get to know about him, to get to know about his life's journey, and to get into literary gossip around this memoir that was published by essentially his former lover. So if you're interested in some interesting reading, please go and read that. I will link this in the show notes for sure. So you look at the episode notes, you're going to find this link in there. And hopefully I'll retweet it if I haven't already on Twitter. That's all, folks. This seems to be a really long episode, but thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for also being patient and waiting for this episode to drop. This episode was wonderful to record because I have help in editing. Our editor for this episode and our sound maestro is none other than Tevin Sudi. Asante sana. And hopefully you're enjoying the jingles, you're enjoying the segments. I'd really like to hear from you all. So, you know the spiel. See you next time. I love you. I mean it. Mwah. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you to everyone who helped in the creation of this episode and to African authors for continuing to inspire us. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you access your favorite podcast and follow us on social media at podcast_semi. That's at podcast_semi on all platforms. Until next time, Amakini. Bye.